2000 to make my debut and get the win, get a clean sheet, and we're top of the league for Christmas! Woo!
Well, that was fun. Three goals, Guro back, Magic Mike a debut, Lauren James banger, Sam Kerr chipping in with a 30th headed goal, and Neem Charles red card. Now I'm joined by Andre. Andre, I had to ask for your immediate reactions because that game pretty much had a bit of everything.
It did. It was going all well until the red card, which mm-hmm. was very unfortunate. I'm sure we'll talk about it later. But, you know, after a disappointing run of results, it was important to win this game. It was a very winnable game, but you still need to win these games away. Not in your best form. Three goals back to the top of the table.
Of course, we're talking about Bristol City. We hadn't mentioned it because there's just so much to talk about. But as you say, a very important result, especially since Arsenal could not follow up their victory against us with a win. They lost 1-0 to Spurs, which is hilarious. Arsenal fans are very upset.
Hold on real quick. Did you see the goal that Spurs scored?
It's like, I think I quote tweeted, well, the only word I could think of was like butter. Like, it's like, you know, when a hot knife goes through butter and it just melts. It's like, that's what happened to their midfield. It just like, I'm doing a hand gesture. This is the butter, but please, yes, let's talk about that briefly.
I honestly just think it was funny. It was just like, you know, Arsenal has all this energy, you know, their fans are going bonkers. They're mad at Lauren James. They're saying all kind of things about Lauren James. They beat Chelsea dominant, you know, but it's December again. As we know, it's a long season. You have to also be at the top of the table when the season ends if you want to win something. They seem to have forgotten that point, and they were reminded apparently because they went out. That goal was just very funny. It was across the entire width of the pitch, the width and the length of the pitch, which was just incredible from Spurs. But then I think Arsenal had 31 shots, no goals.
31 shots.
Such a funny performance. That was great.
And I have to add on a slightly more serious note, there was a challenge in that game that Katie McCabe made where it's off the ball, yes, and she like absolutely destroys, I think it's Ashley Neville. Yeah. And we talk a lot about, you know, this racially inspired narrative around Lauren James being aggressive, and but when it's a white player, and this isn't specifically targeted at Katie McCabe, this is just an example, but when it's a white player, it's simply not talked about. I haven't seen any journalists talk about it, you know, and generally this is something McCabe does quite a lot, but there's no narrative around her. When she's doing it, it's like cool and like in your face and spunky. I don't
scrappy.
Know what, yeah, like it's scrappy. There's positive connotations, but when Lauren James is doing it, it's like it's aggressive and violent, and there's only one reason I can think why that happens. And so slightly less sort of funny note, I think that's something we should note. But either, yeah.
If you think too, I don't want to continue to talk about that, mm-hmm, so I'm sorry, mm-hmm, but I just also wanted to note that it's not like McCabe hadn't done that before in the game prior. She's the one, yeah, who put her shoulder into Fran Kirby when she's running into the box, and the ref just was like, play on, I guess. But that was also very dirty because Fran Kirby would have been open. That would have been a goal scoring opportunity and early, and she should have at least deserved a yellow for that and got nothing. And the fans just kind of chalk it up to that's how she plays. She's aggressive, she's fun, she gets in your face, you know, and it's just like, okay. Yeah. And I can understand the difference in that and what Lauren James did with the stamp, but also you're talking about a similar level, and it's really not, and there's on opposite ends of the spectrum with how they're discussed, and that's a problem.
Yeah, you're right. But getting back to the game now, as we say, Bristol City 3-0, and it started perfectly. Do you want to talk to us about the first goal? Because it was a real treat.
I sure do, because I just love Lauren. Again, I think it's great that we'd had that initial conversation because it wasn't really planned, but it's been a tough week for Lauren James and Emma, yeah, Hayes. Emma Hayes, mm-hmm, mentioned it in her presser as well, talking about how she thinks that, you know, there's racism involved in the way that, mm-hmm, that Lauren James is treated. And that can't be good to be at the center of discourse and also to have your, you know, skin color, your ethnicity be part of the discourse as well, because it just feels shitty. So I felt really bad for her this week. Of course, you know, we always protect and love Lauren James, but to see her respond in that manner was important. I thought she had very much, there were times when she tried to do this where I was like, okay, how about we just like, you know, you don't have to score yeah, the bangers, but you know what? I'm glad she did. She put her left foot through this one after doing a brilliant turn to get away from defenders. And what I love the most, you know me, it's the post shot, like ball action. The ball like hit the back of the net and the net like threw it back out of of the goal mouth. It was like, so,
it doesn't want it.
There was so much power in that shot. It was so good.
And I think like the interesting thing is when she receives that ball, you can already see Bristol City's backline retreating, and they're obviously afraid of her dribbling and running towards them. But at the same time, they give her the space. And I wonder whether that plays a part in her decision. Instead of dribbling, she's like, I got all of this space. I guess I'm just going to shoot and see what happens. And as you say, that mistake, then it just opens up all of this area for her to get into. And what a goal it was. You're right in saying it's been such a tough week. And as you say, Chelsea have spoken about how, you know, it's been difficult for Lauren to be in the middle of this, because it's obvious, it's overt racism around her, and online abuse plays just as much of a role, but it's often inspired and influenced by stuff that happens outside of online conversations. So if there was a way to return from that, it would have been with this goal. She shouldn't have to do that. She shouldn't have to prove herself, because she's amazing in every way possible. So we should be celebrating this moment as well, I think. And her celebration as well, you could see just how much it meant to her.
Yeah, I do want to be careful too, because, you know, I talk about these issues a lot in writing and in other podcasts. But like, yes, performing well is great, but it is not a solution to racism. It is not a cure for racism, right? So I'm glad for her on a personal level that she got this moment. She got to really...
But she shouldn't have to, right?
Exactly. Yeah. She got a chance to turn the conversation and how great she is, which is what should always be the conversation, because she is great. But again, it is not a cure for these things. So I am hoping that we still, that authorities involved, you know, people and with the ability to limit something, to restrict abuse, to do something, to counter abuse, do something, because just her performing well is not the solution. It's that this is not her problem to solve. So I'm happy for her on a personal level, but I still want to make sure the conversation is heard.
And just to kind of carry on this point, I think language is very key. And I think that's not necessarily, I don't just mean like online. I mean, the way we talk about her, like commentary, analysis, podcasters, fans, online abuse obviously is a big thing, right? But it's not, the media has a role as well. Journalists have a role as well. Nobody's talked about Katie McCabe in a way that has negative implications for her. It's okay. And that's reflected in reports and features. I think there's definitely a discourse that comes back to people like us. And we can say that it's people online behind like avatars and keyboard warriors, but that's not the entire truth. I think analysis, commentary, people within the industry have just as much of a role to play. So something to think about. She obviously scored an amazing goal, but that wasn't the only goal today, because there was another banger, Erin Cuthbert. Erin, I only score bangers, Cuthbert, given a lot of space in the box. And I think you tweeted from the podcast, you said, "Our wee little Scott." And it was just a perfect goal. She drifts into the box and the ball is hers, and there's just no other way it's ending.
It was very funny because she was lining that up from the very moment the ball started going up into the sky at its trajectory. She was waiting and waiting and waiting. It seemed like she had to wait a long time for it to come down, but she was really patient. And I was kind of surprised a little bit that Bristol City defenders didn't try to close her down a bit more, because you could see what she was going to do. And I'm glad they didn't, because it was a very good strike. I'm glad it wasn't deflected. It was into the bottom corner across the goalkeeper. It was a very clean, lovely strike. And she's kind of deserved this. She's had an interesting run so far, and she's come very close on some goals. She's missed some opportunities you wouldn't expect Erin Cuthbert to miss. So this had to feel good as well.
Yeah, and it's almost weird because I think you tweeted again, like it was a gif, right? And in the gif, it seems like it's super slow motion, that like the ball is just dropping down and down. You're thinking that like you can see the Bristol City defender approaching her, but then you watch it from real life and it's kind of just as slow. It's like, it's very premeditated, but she just finds herself in the right space. And I think that's something that Bristol struggled with a lot today, in like our front three and our attacking midfield, their runs and kind of figuring out whether to mark zonally or mark them specifically. And I think Erin is just someone who when given the freedom can slip into those places really well. And yeah, just a brilliant goal at 2-0. But obviously there was another goal, and Sam Kerr, a 30th headed goal for Chelsea. And it feels so good that it was a Guro assist, that connection we've been missing for so long, you know. And straight away, first game back, we see why we need that connection, because it was just a perfect cross all the way to the back post, and Sam was just the first one there.
Yeah, I love whenever we get these common connections, you know, the Fran Kirby to Sam Kerr, the Guaraitan to Sam Kerr. It's just the thing on the pitch that is very, very difficult to stop. And it was, of course, it's actually a connection between all three of them, because Fran Kirby sent the through ball to Guaraitan, who ran onto it. Perfect left-footed delivery. I just love Guro's ability to just manipulate the ball with her left foot. If you watch that that strike. The ball gets up into the air quickly, but then it hangs and then it drops. And it's all intentional. She's trying to clear all of the defenders and have it drop into that space behind behind the defense. And it's perfect. And Sam Kerr reads it well. She doesn't try to crash to the ball. She doesn't try to get in front of defenders. She just waits patiently for the ball to drop because she's got that connection with Guro and knows what's going to happen. So this is why, like, these connections are difficult to stop. And this kind of shows you why. The players, when they're on the same page like this, and you have the quality in both of them to pull this off, yeah, it's really hard to defend.
Yeah, and it seemed like that was the perfect way to end. Like, if the game had stopped there, we would say this is a perfect performance. But it's just really unfortunate. We have to talk about a red card today, and it wasn't, you know, a horrific tackle. It wasn't a straight red, it was a double yellow. So we're talking about Neem Charles here. Now, I haven't seen the first offence, but I saw the second yellow tackle and I thought that's a yellow. So I don't know if I'm equipped to talk about this. You might have to let us know what you think, Andre.
That first one was deserved because it was like a tactical foul. There was a bit of a break, and I believe it was in our own half, so in Bristol's own half. So it's not like it was cynical. It was just like, we're going to stop you from breaking right now. She kind of took one for the team early on just to help the mm-hmm. team settle and not have to face a counter and potentially something weird happening. So I was like, okay, I get it. But the question is, who's more at fault, right? Should mm-hmm. Emma Hayes have taken her off, yeah. or should Neve Charles have been like, okay, I'm on a yellow, I'm not going to just like dive out. We're up 3-0. It's late in the game. Even if they score, we won't love that, but I'll be available for the next match, which I believe is against Manchester United. So
I hope not. I mean, she makes quite a few attacking changes. And, you know, Fischel comes on for Kerr, Fleming comes on for Kirby, Beaver Jones is on, Hermana makes a late appearance for James. So it's a lot of attacking changes. The only defensive change is Lawrence coming on for Perisic. But you would have thought at that point, and, you know, respectively, it's Bristol City. You've got a game on Thursday, I believe, against Hacken FC. And it's just, maybe she could have come off earlier, especially with getting that first yellow so early. But then would you have expected her to have gotten a second yellow so late in the game where it was completely unnecessary? It's almost, you're kind of in two minds where she didn't have to make that challenge, but Emma Hayes could have made a change. So you're stuck, really. I feel it's difficult either way, maybe.
Yeah, I could see that. Although where I'm at is I kind of put more blame on Neve. I think for Emma, mm-hmm. you want to trust your player. This is basically, we've talked about it. She's been basically Chelsea's player of the first half of the season. She's been incredible. Mm-hmm. And I think she knows how to play on a yellow card. She knows what she's doing. She knows how she's been excellent this year. And I do think trusting your players is important. So I kind of understand. I think if you're being extra cautious, you could say, all right, take her off just in case something weird happens. But because mm-hmm. it was late, because you had a lead, you think that, okay, it minimizes the need to take a risk such as that. You know, if the game was level, or if it was nil-nil or something like that, or, you know, Bristol was up one and we were fighting to get back in the game, yeah, maybe, because you're gonna have to take some chances on the counter if you end up facing one. But this game was comfortable, so I think you should I don't fault Emma for trusting Neve there. I kind of put more blame on Neve for diving in like that when she was on a yellow and she knew she was gone. As soon as the ref came over, she just like ran down the tunnel. It was like, all right, that's it. Like, yeah, I think Emma said something yeah. to her too, and I would love to know what she's.
That 96th minute, though, leaves a bit of a sour taste in the mouth, especially as you say, we're not sure whether that suspension will be in the FA Cup game or the WSL game. If it is against United, then maybe we're in trouble. I mean, the thing is, she has often switches Perisic for Lawrence, and we saw it again in this game, and I think we saw it last week, to kind of facilitate more of a possession-based back three. But I wonder how that might work if Neem isn't playing. Will we just stick with the back three just from the start, or are we going to think about possibly bringing in someone else, get Jess to move over, and then have a central defence that is possibly Buchanan and Mielda? Oh, that isn't as fire confidence.
Hopefully Millie Bright is back.
Oh, God, yeah, of course. What am I saying? Yes, Millie Bright will be back.
That will make the decisions a little bit easier and the defense a little bit more solid if Millie Bright is back. If she's not back and we have to figure that out, it is going to be interesting because it might have to be Carter that goes out, because Perisic had a pretty rough go of it against Arsenal, even though it's not like Manchester United are like killing it. You know, they lost to Liverpool today. So, you know, just saying. Mm.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit of a tricky one. But let me ask you this. I know we haven't talked about our starting 11, but Nusken was in there. And I want you to talk to me a little bit about her performance, because against Arsenal last week, we thought that she was struggling a little bit. She should have been played a bit deeper. And her ability to press in midfield was becoming harder and harder because Little and McCabe were switching sides a lot in terms of how they were building up in their press. Now, today, obviously, against Bristol, that mid-block has not been the case. We saw it in the Lauren James goal, and maybe slightly in the build-up to Sam Kerr's goal. So is it kind of a conversation in whether she can't play in games where she has to be less creative? Do you think that's on Emma, or is it on Nusken to develop as a player in that deeper role?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really, I don't want to say it's on her to really do it. She's young, she's 22, so she's going to improve. I think she's in an environment to improve. It's just a matter of where can you trust her? And I think Emma Hayes is figuring out where she can trust her. So she's on the pitch today with Sophie Ingle, which was interesting because there was some swapping of their roles sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like late in the game, I believe Nusken was actually playing as a straight up center back, which was interesting. So like having that relationship and trying to learn those dynamics is important. But I think she did well this game. You know, this is a game you would expect a player of her caliber to do well in. She did well in this game. Her passing accuracy was pretty good in this game. I believe I'm on FotMob. It looks like it was 83% overall, which is unfortunately kind of high for her. Normally she's in the 70s somewhere with her passing. But she won all of her tackles 3 for 3. She recovered the ball 8 times, had a couple clearances, won every single ground duel she got into. So 6 out of 6, which I think is great, and won 2. But this is the interesting thing about her is she is a tall player. She's an athletic player. But for some reason today, she only won 2 of her 6 aerial duels, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like I think she's a great ball winner in midfield. And if she can play that role while also doing like the attacking role that she wants to do. So I don't know. I know we talk about her all the time. It's like, is she a defensive midfielder or mm-hmm. what? We've played her as a 10 before. I think she's maybe probably at heart a box-to-box midfielder. But either way, she did pretty good this game. It's good to see.
It's good to see when things are more open. I think that's always a little bit of a concern for me. And another example is Lauren James. Is how do we deal when we're facing a team that has a mid-block? Like, how do we deal with that frustration? Or on the counter side, a team that presses possession and forces us away from central areas. It's a bit of a concern. And I think that, and we're going to talk a bit about this now, the Hacking game that happened last midweek, which we didn't review at the time, but we'll talk about now, the frustrating 0-0 draw, and that puts Chelsea second in the group with 5 points, Hacking they're still top with 7. It almost felt that way, that there was a sense of frustration of chances being created around the middle areas. Like, we couldn't do it. And I know there was a disallowed goal and a couple of shots at the woodwork, but it's slightly concerning to me just because it reminds me of previous years in the Champions League, like maybe that Wolfsburg game in the run-up to the final, maybe first leg of Bayern Munich. You're making a face. I'm not trying to speak into negativity. I'm just saying, am I right in feeling a tiny bit concerned? Is there still there's still a tactical like area in which we're struggling a little bit?
No, I made that face because for me, what it reminded me of was that Juventus game that ended 0-0. Where yeah, we had a bunch of chances. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh dear. So this was why it was frustrating. We 71% possession, whatever, but 22 shots, only 5 on target. That's a problem. When you have that many shots, you need to have more on target. You need to be creating better chances, or you just need to be more patient. Do you really need to shoot from there, or can you work a better opportunity to go at goal? Like, that's the thing for me. I'm great. I love teams that fly forward. I love teams that put the ball, that stress goalkeepers out, you know, that keep on shooting at goal. But if your accuracy is only 5 out of 22 shots are on target, that's not really good enough. And it didn't necessarily need to win this game. You know, we do have Hacking up next. They're actually our final game of 2023. So you get 3 points, even though that's actually going to be away at them. So that's going to be a different environment to go into. So it's not a situation where all is not lost. They still could end up the year at the top of the group and top of the table in the league. Decent position, but this is why it kind of puts even more pressure on this game, because you can't have another performance like that, and you sure as hell can't lose.
Yeah, and there's pressure now because, as you say, because of that performance. I mean, before that, Hacking hadn't played in played, I think their previous game was against Real Madrid on the 23rd of November, so they'd had a considerable amount of time off compared to us. However, it was clear the strategy was to sit deep and to almost snap out all of our counters. And I think Lauren James was on the bench that day, but I'm kind of thinking maybe that if we play her, maybe there's an element of having more creativity. Yeah. But if she's frustrated, then that could be an issue for us. Not because I think she's going to do something silly, but because I think that could seriously affect our creativity. And as you say, how many shots on target we had, and you know, no conversion apart from maybe a couple of offside goals. Now, Hayes did mention talking about how they were playing on an artificial pitch. Now, I don't know whether that's, what do you think? Is that like a real reason? Maybe that's not the right wording, but is that something that could be affecting us playing on a different type of pitch?
Yeah, I mean, there's a conversation here in the States we have a lot, because artificial turf is not good, but also if you have a poor grass pitch, it can be even worse. So, you know, we have a couple of both options here in the States, and it's not good. It's not great for really continuity of play, but it's also not great for player safety and player health. You know, turf is typically not a very forgiving surface, and you do tend to get a bit more injuries on consistently on turf. But again, like I said, a bad grassy pitch can also lead to a lot of issues. Ball bobbling around, you know, a foot moving, twisting the wrong way when you're trying to turn. You know, it is a game where you need to be able to react quickly and turn your body shape quickly, and that can cause a problem. So, yeah, I don't know. I kind of think that I was sad that I understand why Emma didn't have Lauren James out there for the first game against Hocken. I really hope, though, that she's in the starting lineup, because like you mentioned against Bristol, when she turns, the defense runs away. Those are the opportunities yeah. you need to do. And they run away for a good reason. You know, if you give her time on the ball and let her dribble forward, you know, or dribble by you, she's very tricky. You can either foul her and give up a free kick in a great area, or she's going to get in the box and you foul her. And there's a penalty, or she just beats you and now she's shooting closer to goal with nothing in her way. But she can also do this and shoot from long range. And I feel like against teams like Hocken, where that's what they wanted to do, they basically just wanted to stop Chelsea from playing. You do need a player that can do that sort of thing, which is kind of why I'm like, I can't wait to see Lauren James with another player who can do a similar thing, like Katarina Macario, right? I think you just need mm-hmm. a player like that in games like that. That's just going to be able to open things up and take whatever the defense is giving them.
And considering that Emma Hayes talked about she said in that game that it wasn't the tactics that were wrong, it was a technical execution that was poor. So kind of shifting players, focus on players specifically, not being able to execute certain ideas and concepts. And we know that Lauren has the range of talent to do a lot of different things. So I guess if she starts that game and Nuskin's playing slightly deeper, then that's the opportunity for her to thrive in that role. And as you say, the final fixture before we have a considerable break off, and then after that is United. So you really kind of want to end on a good note. You don't want to, I think the phrase is pull an Arsenal, which is end the year on a defeat, because it's just not great. Christmas is coming up, and it's just nice to have a win, I think, and know that there's a purpose going into the new year.
Yeah, I think it's super important. I mean, given the run of games where you lose pretty badly to Arsenal, you have the frustrating match against Hocken, I do think that if you end up the year, we're going to be top of the table in the Premier League, in the WSL, yeah. no matter what. That's also great, because it's also funny to laugh at Arsenal losing, and it's also funny to laugh at Manchester United losing, because they thought, oh, this is our time, and then all it takes is 1 week, and nope. you're now below Chelsea again by 3 points, which is great. But I think that the Champions League is also, like, that's the big thing for me. And mm-hmm. getting out of the group is important. You are second in a group that you were expected to top. You're not completely out of it, and you could be on top with a couple of points cushion, and then the rest of the games become a little bit easier if that's the case. So I'm hoping that's the case, because we do expect to be at fuller health. You know, Emma Hayes did talk about getting Millie Bright back in 2024. Also talked about Katarina Macario coming back. We saw Maika Amano make her debut. So you do have interesting players to come, and you do have ways for the team to naturally get better just by getting healthier. And so that's where we need to be, because this second half of the season in both competitions is going to be huge.
And just to mention, I think I remember last year getting into February and March, where we had a serious problem with injuries. And I know there was also yeah. absences from the Asian Cup, but it put us in a really difficult position for that March run, which was insane. And I don't want to be in a similar position this year, where we have to, you know, have makeshift defenses or makeshift midfields, or just a single, like just Sam Kerr up front. because that I think that affected us a lot. And surely the whole point of having such a big transfer campaign during the summer is to stop stuff like that from happening. So hopefully, as you say, more players back, more sort of a refreshed squad, and we can start to diversify our squad a little bit when it comes to these fixtures. So, you know, the whole point of having four goalkeepers is to be able to play them around. We saw Hannah Hampton today.
I'm so glad you got to that wild. Because we need to talk about Hannah Hampton.
Yeah, in the wild. Like, you know what? Can I just say, if we're using performances like today to then decide whether keepers can have a good run in the team like we did with Musovic, I think she deserves a run in the team because she was strong today and she looked really good in goal.
It's funny too, because if on the face of it, you think, okay, yeah, give Hannah Hampton a start for Chelsea, her first start for Chelsea against Bristol City. It'll be fine. She'll barely kick the ball because you expect to dominate that game. But it wasn't really like that, right? Like there were some times she had to make some good, quick decisions. You think the one move where the defense kind of broke down or turned the ball over and, you know, a Bristol City player had it in the center of the box. And really, if you give them a split second to pick a spot or make a decision, that's likely going to be a goal. But she came out so quick, got down so well, and avoided contact to avoid the penalty. It's like those decisions are great. We've seen indecision from Ann Katchenberger cause problems. We've seen indecision from Zuzera Mucevic cause problems, but she made quick decisions. Now, obviously, can you do it against higher caliber competition? A lot more pressure without a cushion of goals. We'll see. But I agree with you. I think this was a very good debut. I was excited to see her in the starting lineup, and I think she looked really good. We kind of talked about her shot stopping as being something that needed to improve, but I thought she did quite well with the shots she faced. And she was also, to me, she also read those kind of panic moments well, where a Bristol player gets into the ball and the defense is kind of backpedaling, trying to figure it out, and the ball ends up rolling. She doesn't commit or do anything. She waits until the last moment, and either the ball rolls out of the line or she runs out and grabs it real quick. It's just making sure that it was a level of confidence and security that honestly we haven't really had in recent weeks with our goalkeepers.
Yeah, and I think we have to give her the chance now to trial it out, because as you say, we tried out Berger and she's been okay, but maybe not so good in the last couple of weeks. I thought last week against Arsenal was a tricky game for her.
Yeah,
Musovic is all right as well. I mean, if we're going by those parameters and we're being fair, that she meets those standards. In fact, she's probably been, like yesterday, today was probably one of the better goalkeeping performances we've had in the last couple of weeks. So
yeah,
I see no reason why she shouldn't be picked again in the next couple of weeks. But, you know, we never know what Emma Hayes is up to. She's got quite a few goalkeepers at her disposal. And maybe this is a chance to prove that Hannah could be one of our keepers in the mix. But if not, then we might be seeing her after the break. I know we've got a fixture this Thursday, but as you say, next one after that is after Christmas. So if she gets it running after Christmas, then maybe that's a good shot.
Yeah, to be honest, I might just turn around and reward a good performance with it's a game we have to win, but put her out there versus Hawken. I don't even know. Mm-hmm. I hope we registered her for the Champions League. I don't actually remember the list, so I believe we did, but I would love to see her in that game just to give her more big game experience and reward a good performance. She's been, from all accounts, again, social media accounts and all of that business. So obviously whatever narrative can be painted there cannot always be 100% true, but she looks comfortable. She looks happy. She looks fun. We saw the photo of her just sliding in the mud out of nowhere. Yeah. She's like a big kid, but that's what you kind of love. Goalkeepers have to just be weird. And she's definitely got like a weird vibe, but a fun vibe about her. And she hasn't been starting, which people thought that might be a problem because they weren't sure how she would handle that. She's been good. She's waited her time. She got on the pitch. She had a really good performance. I say you reward her and give her that game. And then she has another game to build on, but also more experience to build on with Chelsea and with the back line as well. I'm kind of liking this move, even though I thought it was weird to sign a million goalkeepers and to keep a million goalkeepers. But, you know, maybe we found a goalkeeper that we're going to be able to rely on. If not for the rest of this year, it looks like she's going to be quite all right if she continues to develop like this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that might be everything we need to talk about today, unless there's anything else you'd like to add. I mean, we could do predictions. We haven't done predictions in a few weeks. I was gone for 1 week and you've changed the entire structure of this podcast. But yeah, let's do predictions. It's going to be a tough game. We've already got a taste of what Hacken are like. They know what we are capable of, and I think they did a very successful job of stifling our game plan. But, you know, throwing a Lauren James in the mix and Gura Wright in his back. I think missing Gura was a big problem for us, maybe more than having no Millie Bright in the back line. I'm going to say 2-1. I hope I haven't stolen yours, but yeah.
No, because I actually think, even though Håkan won against Real Madrid 2-1 when they played them at home, Real Madrid scored early and then they were able to respond with 2 goals in the second half. They actually did not dominate that game much. Håkan only had 3 shots on target, 7 shots overall. They conceded possession for the most part to Real Madrid. And that's a Real Madrid team without Linda Caicedo, I believe, at the time. Mm-hmm. And also without Caroline Weir, of course. So I'm thinking that Chelsea's going to have a good opportunity to kind of turn this around and needed the goals from today to be able to give the confidence to do that and the connection from Guro to Sam. We needed to see that. I'm going to say 2-0 Chelsea. I don't think Håkan's going to score. I think we're going to get a clean sheet, go on top of the group. Merry Christmas to everybody.
All right. Well, we'll end it on a good note, I suppose. Thank you guys for listening and listening to our post-match thoughts. We will try to maybe record one last time. Maybe if Andre predicts all goes well against Håkan, maybe that will be our final part of the year before we move to the January games. And if not, we will see you on the other side of Christmas.
And remember to laugh at Arsenal and Manchester United.
Yeah, of course. Always laugh at Arsenal.